Again, I welcome all of you to the Word of God Church and Julius C. Freeman Senior Outreach Ministry Sunday, Sabbath Day Worship Service. We greet you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. He is our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
And so as we start this worship, Deacon Freeman, if you would lead us in prayer. Hopefully, Deacon Freeman's still with us. All right, Melody, are you still with us? Deaconess Freeman.
I'm still here.
Okay, Anthony. Praise the Lord. We're looking for Deaconess Freeman. Those who will hear this tape, our church is 50% physically on site, and the rest are around the globe. Hallelujah. And by way of a bridge line, we're connected together, and so we're waiting for Deaconess Freeman to get back with us. We're going to go ahead and get started, and we're prayerful that Deaconess Freeman will come back with us. Let us pray. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, and by the power and the authority of that name, we come together this morning to give you praise and honor. We praise you, Lord God, because you're worthy to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, your name shall be honored and glorified and praised. And we at Word of God Church come this morning with the Spirit to give you all praise and honor. For you are an awesome God, and we thank you this morning that you called us from darkness to your marvelous light. You called us out of our slumber to let us wake up and see the power and the glory that possesses you. We thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you for our health and our strength, and we thank you for the kindness that you displayed upon us as we've gone through this week. We pray this morning for those who are in bereavement this morning, who have lost loved ones this week, Lord God, unexpectedly or otherwise. And we ask that you be merciful unto those families, Lord God, that you comfort them in this time of bereavement, Lord God. Let them know that all things work together for you who love the Lord and are called by his name. And so right now, Lord God, we ask that you touch their hearts, Lord God, that you touch the little ones that have witnessed the loss of a loved one this week, that you give them peace, Lord God, in the midst of the storm. And for all of us who are still here, Lord God, who still wait the call to go from this world into the eternal kingdom,
yes,
that you guide us, Lord God, that we will witness to everyone that we meet. For the days are getting shortened and time is at hand. And so we pray for your mercy, Lord God, that you give us the ability to speak your word in season and out of season, to help the lost to have sight, give peace to those who are tormented. Help us, Father, that we do your will and your work. We can't do it without you, and we need you this morning. We pray for those who are sick within our flock. We ask that you bless Sister Corbin and heal her. Our patriarch, our faithful servant of yours. To bless her husband and her son that sits by her side, and her daughter and the rest of the Corbin family, Lord God, that you bless them this morning. Father God, again, I ask you bless Melody and the children as they, those who head back home to Joseph. Bless them, Lord God. Bless Chip and his family and Dee and little Julius this morning. Bless the saints here in Richmond that are gathered together to hear your word, Lord God. Empower us, Lord God, that we will have ears that will hear and eyes that will see, thus saith the Lord. Be with us now, Lord God. Bless all who are here. Bless the children that are on the call and the children are present. For out of the babes of mouths will come words that will glorify your holy and righteous name. Bless us and keep us as we now prepare to worship. Let Lance be healed, Lord God, as he moves from one place to another. Bless his wife, bless Bree and my grandchildren that assemble here. Nikki, who is here. And I pray for the blessings on those who are en route here, that you bring them here safely as we prepare to serve you, Lord God. And last of all, bless my darling wife, that you kept by my side for all my life, just about. We give you praise and honor. We pray these and all other blessings in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise be to God. If you have your Bibles, and I trust by now you should have them. For anyone who does not know, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. I want you to, as we get started, to hear something that I found to be extremely blessed to me in a week where there have been things, actually the last 2 or 3 weeks have not been weeks that we have not had to deal with death and sickness. And so we give God the glory this morning that even through the midst of storms, there is still light that shines.
Amen.
Connie was cleaning the house up the other day and picked up a little notebook that was left. And she brought it back to me to read. And it was the notes of my grandson, Dwayne Jr. And Dwayne, so for those who will hear this tape and is not on this call and don't know, is normally in the Florida room here, and he usually is fooling with his little toys. But unbeknown to us, he also is taking note of everything that's being said. Amen?
Amen.
And so Dwayne had wrote some notes down, and I don't have them in front of me, but they were words that I had spoke by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that same spirit put those words in his heart, and he spoke those words on paper. And so we give God the glory that this morning that our young people can hear God's word, and it will lift them up and edify them as it does us. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
So I tell you that don't take for granted that our children sit here, because they do hear the word. And so when you sit your children.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system. 7-0. 486.
Okay, I'm assuming we have everybody back with us. All right, let's go around the globe. Chip and Dee and Julius.
I'm here.
Sister Corbin, Brother Wayne. Sister Corbin, if you're on it, don't say nothing. Just rest easy. Joseph.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Deaconess Freeman.
She's trying to get in.
All right, that's fine. Yeah, you know, let me tell you how it works. The devil is a liar.
Amen.
And the truth ain't in him. And so we will pray that Sister Freeman back in. Sister Freeman.
This is Lance. They kicked me off.
All right, that's all right. The devil's a liar.
Amen.
You see, all of the saints know to dial back in. The devil don't have no play here. He's useless and worthless. Amen?
Amen.
And the Bible says we give no place to him.
Amen.
And so, again, I want to remind you again of our young people that they need to have their little notebooks and pads so that they can take their notes down. Amen?
Amen.
You see, Noel Dwayne edified me and Connie here. I sat up here with tears in my eyes, because I was able to read some words that he wrote down. And he wrote down the truth, and he wrote them down plain and clear. And so he wasn't just sitting there writing notes. He wrote down what the Spirit told him. And so we encourage you to have notes and books and pads for our children. Amen?
Amen.
So that they will be blessed by your words. Deaconess Freeman.
I think I'm back. I'm not.
No. We know you back. In the name of Jesus, we know you back.
The but that's not Melody out.
Say again?
Melody's not back.
No, Melody was back.
No.
You still there, Melody?
No. When I get in, it knocks her out. When she get in, it knocks me out.
And well, we're going to go ahead on in Jesus' name, because the devil ain't got no control over this.
Okay.
All right. Just in case you missed it, I've already did the prayer, and we're moving on with the word.
All right.
Bible said that you gotta always be ready to give an account. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Y'all pray for the bishop. He look around the table. All I see is Buddy and Butter and cupcakes. But I give God the glory. I have the power to overcome that and wouldn't deprive anybody else of having it. All right, Connie, smile, dear. There you go. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. For those who might have joined us, the title of the sermon is Preach the Word. Listen to these words in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 1 through 5. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you these charges. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to miss. But you keep your head in all situations. Endure the hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. So this morning I want to make the case to you as God's people about my duties that I must discharge as a faithful preacher of God's word. I was called by God. I'm sanctified by God. I am led by God. I am told by God. And by God I will stand, and by God I will cease to exist. Amen. And so you make no mistake about it, you're in the same boat. What you hear me and Paul talk about, you will also fall into the requirement that you fall into the same circumstances. And so this morning, I will attempt by the power of the Holy Spirit and the written, God-inspired, God-breathed-on word that Paul penned to make the case that has been laid out before us by Paul in this 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. You see, Paul summarized the requirements of a preacher. It's a solemn charge in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead by his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Rebuke, reproach, rebuke, and exalt with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickle, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away from their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to miss. But you be sober in all things, enduring hardship, and do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Church, this is a powerful an all-encompassing requirement that the faithful teachers and preachers will pay attention to whether they are undergirded by the way they live in public and in private. My private life is more a matter as well as my public life. I spend many hours praying to God, asking him to make sure that he fills my heart with what he wants me to say to the saints. I woke up the other morning after having several nights of bad dreams, and this one I had to start praying when I woke up. Now, keep in mind, I was in a dream. I wasn't woke. I was asleep. And I'm telling you that you have to have the power to know when the devil is speaking to you, even in your sleep.
Amen.
And so when I open my eyes, I start praying because I'm trying to keep a righteous life before God, because that's what's required of me to be able to minister to the saints. Amen?
Amen.
And so we are required to take account of our time, not only in public but in private, the things that we do when no one sees us but the eyes of God. And so I encourage you this morning as we go through this litany of things that Paul lays out, that you be mindful of yourselves as well as the preacher man. See, Paul ministered in light of the coming evaluation and warned Timothy, his son in the faith, were in the ministry to do the same. We are to manifest spiritual excellence. Listen to me. We must be excellent Christians. The Bible says that the Father makes us perfect in every way. And so we must adhere to this mark of the high calling in Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I want to make sure I still have someone on the call. Could somebody just say amen?
Amen.
Amen. I hear Lance. Do we have?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Although proclaiming God's word is not an easy task, and I think that those of you who start witnessing to people, you're going to find out that it's not easy. Because as Paul has laid out in this text, that in these last and evil days, people don't want to hear the truth. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Their ears don't, it doesn't sound right to them. It sounds foreign to their ears. Can I get a witness? They'll do anything, make any excuse. They will butt up against God's word every time you speak it. If you think I'm lying, then you test it sometime. Well, then your conversation changes and start talking about the Lord and find out how quick they get off the phone. I remember my father-in-law many years ago saying that, color folk, if you want to put them to sleep, start reading about the stock market or about something economically, I submit to you, start reading about that word and you'll get some who will fall away too. Because the Bible says that these last days, they don't want to hear the truth. But this is a daunting task. And Timothy was not the only one that had to deal with it. Listen at these scriptures. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. It says, nor a preacher righteousness in a wicked society. And Jonah 3 and 4. Jonah cried out and said, yea, for 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. His message of doom resulted in that great city repenting. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judah, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the forerunner of Christ boldly proclaimed a message of repentance and lost his life for condemning a king's infidelity. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4 through 17. I'm sorry, 4, 17. Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Christ, the prince of all preachers, claimed a message of repentance. And so as we look this morning and deeper into this text, we see that Timothy was a preacher of the word. Can I get a witness? God's word. This was not the only time that Paul mentioned God's word to Timothy. In previous chapters, he stated, from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Listen at me, church. All scripture is inspired by God. It is profitable for teaching and for reproaching and for correcting and for training in righteousness. Timothy also told, retain the standards of sound words. And I tell you this morning that we who are God's people must stand flat-footed, unequivocally stand firmly on God's word. Because we are in a time when people don't want to hear God's word. They want to hear things that make them feel good.
Amen.
That don't count their sin. You hear no one even use the word sin anymore. This young fellow who killed the people at the university the other day, they didn't say that he was full of sin. They said that he must have had some mental problems. And he didn't take his medicine. Listen at me. Sin is sin. Murder is sin. Don't let man change what God has laid out. When you murder somebody, you have sinned against Almighty God. Devil would have us believe that that's not so. It's like guns in this country. It's sinful that there are more guns are floating around in homes than Bibles. It's sin, I tell you, and we are mandated by God to guard the truth and to preach the word and not to be ashamed of it in season and out of season. Listen to Timothy, 1 Timothy 6 and 20. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge. Yesterday, I try and I praise God by his power. I've weaned myself off of television. I submit to you that you can do it too. And now what I do is I try to either listen at sermons or tapes or Bible scripture through the medium of tapes. And that set that the church gave me, it was a blessing. I was listening to a positive tape that I got from a business partner, and he was saying, even on this cardinal side of things tape, that people who are on the go and are positive don't waste their time watching television all day long. I said, now that's interesting. Yeah. Now this man is a Christian man. I talk to him every day, Monday through Thursday. And unfortunately, the devil has still got us unguarded. We are commanded that we understand what is evil and cling to what is good. Can I get a witness? Mm-hmm. Along the same lines, I had gotten a series of tapes about the law of attraction. I tell you, if you happen to have that tape so that books throw it out, that's straight from the devil. That man doesn't need God. All he needs to do is think positive and claim the things that he wants. You know, you name it and you claim it. I stop by to tell you that the word said our steps are ordered, that God determines our pathway. Come on, somebody. God determines our pathway. All we do is step back and let him lead and we follow. We have to guard against these things that are coming up against God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14, it says, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you and guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You see, church, as we proclaim God's gospel, we must have the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's a twofold responsibility, so basic. Yet preachers teach something other than God's word as we proceed in these last and evil days. In Romans chapter 10, Paul carefully explains the importance of emphasizing scripture. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved, is what we're told. How shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things. So faith cometh from hearing, and hearing comes from the word of Christ. Can I get a witness? Amen. You don't have a preacher who is not called giving you the word of Christ. They give you old fables and wise tales. They talk to you about things that they want to talk about, like money and building bigger churches and being happy. You know, there's enough of them you have to sample after. Be careful when you read these notes that people pass around. You have to discern if it's the word of God. Can I get a witness? Amen. Everything that sounds good is not from the Father, Amen. But from the devil, because he knows that our ears are in tune to hear things that make us feel fuzzy and good. I recall in the church that I was licensed through, that many days before I was called, I would sit in the pew and hear women complain. And it was women because there wasn't that many men in there sitting around me. There wasn't that many men in the church. Complain about he's stepping on my toes. And I don't come to church to get beat up. Amen, lights.
Amen.
Listen to me. God's word does not beat up no one but the devil.
Amen.
Give me a witness here.
Amen.
He don't
Amen.
Beat up on saints. He enlightens saints. And when saints get enlightened, they get blessed. And when they get blessed, they get happy. And when they get happy, they have joy. And their light shines and all the world sees it. You see, when we walk around talking about God's word, you're not in the word. We're commanded that we ought to guard this word. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 through 15. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one to whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. I repeat that, and as you know, I give you many scriptures. Nothing speaks clearer than God's word. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And I try to let his word speak and not my words. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
You see, Paul was clear in his commitment to proclaim the scriptures. Listen to Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 through 27. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from the God bestowed upon me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God, that is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but now has been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is that riches of his glory in the ministry, the mysteries among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you and the hope of glory. The mystery Paul preached was the New Testament revelations. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
You see, it's not a mystery to us anymore, for God has provided us a way that we may hear his word.
Amen.
And those who don't hear his word, it's a mystery that they have no knowledge of. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. When I came to you, brother, I did not come with superiority of speech or with wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in the persuasive words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that your faith should not rest on wisdom of man, but on the power of God. Can I get a witness? Listen
Amen.
To me. Eloquent speech and preaching is not what God mandates. He mandates that the word be preached in season and out of season.
Amen.
He doesn't preach to feed itching ears. He preaches to save lost souls. And that's what we're called to do. The word is clear about this, that man wants us to make this a nice, fuzzy Sunday so I can leave here and go eat my chicken and red beans and rice or whatever else and just go on my merry way. Have no accountability for sin, no accountability for righteousness, no accountability for love. We are mandated to guard God's word and to proclaim it and to defend it no matter who speaks contrary to it.
Amen.
And by the way, you're commanded to defend this church. Listen at me. Don't sit up here thinking that the devil and so-called religious people are not looking at what's going on in Word of God Church and other churches that keep their mind stayed on Jesus. They find that we are an offense to them. Now, come on, somebody. The Bible says that in the last days that they will kill us. They're talking about religious people, people that get their ears fed with things that they want to hear. They resent us as they resented the Christ. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
That's why church is good, that God has equipped us and given us the opportunity to contribute to put out these tapes. And by the way, all of them are in the mail, praise the Lord, in our haste. And God bless my wife because she was helping me with them. I done misspelled some words on the mailing address. Y'all forgive me. I never could spell much. But they're all in the mail, and you have to accept the little cross-outs and line-overs and kind of correct it. But once you get them, then you should start seeing the power that you are able now to get more and pass on to others. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And I encourage you to start with your own family members. If you got someone in your family that's not saved, see to it that they get these tapes as often as you get them.
Amen.
And guide them to the Word of God Church website where they can pick up the messages every week. They're usually out there the same on today, late afternoon, or if not later than Monday. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
This is all because of your devotion to God. And I might add at this point that God has blessed this church continuously. Now, let me tell you how God works. He works in strange and mysterious ways. I'll say this again, and I'll say it until I die. My buddy in the ministry and my dear friend came with his wife and sat at the head of this table. And we, prior to that, at Word of God Church, those old members know, had very little to do with money. And Butch put in a good size offering. And I tried to push it back on him and said, no. He said, no. This is an offering for service. And look what's happened. Hallelujah. We're still getting big offerings. Got one this week that just about knocked my eyes out of the socket. And for the family that gave it, I'm not going to put you on the spot, but God bless everyone in this church. I don't care if you give a penny, because God sees and knows what we do. And if we do it to his glory and honor, he blesses us.
Amen.
And he blesses us so we can bless others. Do y'all hear me? He blesses us to bless others.
Amen.
It's not about us, because he's already called us from darkness to his marvelous light.
Hallelujah.
And now he's commanding us that we must preach this gospel,
Yes. Simple,
plain, and true. And we must defend it against all enemies, foreign and domestic. We can't go along to get along. That is not the mark of a believer. A believer stands on what the truth is. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
The devil comes at you in little subtle ways. You know, he says little subtle things to try to trip you up and to take you down. Hey, child, every time I talk to you, you're talking about the Lord. Listen to me. In these last and evil days, you better talk about the Lord.
Amen.
Had the sad occasion yesterday to have to call another one of my dear friends whose daughter had just visited us some time back in the last summer, who grew up with Kim and was Kim's friend, good friend. And they've kept in touch since we were in the military. And this particular family was instrumental by the power of the Holy Spirit in guiding Connie stronger in the Word. And then in turn, Connie and them drove me into the Word. Listen at me. God will use you if you will listen and obey him.
Amen.
You see, my wife was in the Word long before I was in it. I was raised in the church, but I wasn't in the Word. Oh, y'all might as well hear this because I'm giving a witness.
Amen.
You see, I was in the world. And my wife, God bless her soul, one day she went to work and left the Bible on the table. And by the way, it was a Good News Bible, that very simple, plain Bible that has the little drawings in it that you might think is too elementary. God's word is powerful. I don't care how it's penned, as long as it's God's word. And one day I was totally frustrated with how I was being treated in the military. I was minding my own business, doing my own job, and I had people that were always out to get me. And Connie said, because I couldn't keep my mouth shut. Well, so be it. But I had about all I could take, and in my warped mind, I had planned what I was going to do. Y'all listen to this. I had said, No more will I take this. I'm going to the arms room, get my weapon, and I'm going to start blowing people away. And that was just as clear in my mind as I'm sitting in this chair. And I went home one day just totally frustrated. And one of the problems was that I had gotten on the E8 list and all the old farts that work with me. I got to watch. I'm trying to remember we on tape. But the old people were trying their best to rouse me. And I got home, and no one was there but the word of God. It was on the table where Connie had left it. And I sat there and cranked out those crank windows in Germany and started reading God's word. I sat there with that breeze coming out of the window and read for hours. And guess what? God started revealing to me that the people who are after you are lost.
Amen.
You see, godly people don't subject others to ridicule and to persecution.
Amen.
And to put them down and make them feel bad about themselves.
Amen.
Y'all hear me? And then I had a different attitude. I went back to work and people were showing up scared. Because I didn't have the same attitude that I left before I went on a couple of days leave. I came back with a new attitude.
Amen.
I came back with the Beatitudes. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Don't let nobody fool you. If you don't watch it, the devil will take you down.
Yes, he will.
You see, we are charged to defend this gospel. Listen to Mark 16 and 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. You and I must go into all the world. You start within the world that is around you. And it's my job to ensure that you hear the word of God in no uncertain terms. I'm unapologetic for proclaiming God's word just as it is. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it or put it in eloquent speech. You know me. And even though I sometimes say things that make you grab your breath, you know that God is still in my heart. And what I speak from the depths of the kingdom of heaven. And it's your job and my job to proclaim this to the lost. This family that I was telling you about, that Kim, daughter, they grew up together. The lady's husband dropped dead of a heart attack the other day. And his son, from what I was told, was standing there and saw it. This man is the same age as my daughter. Listen closely. You and I cannot allow people to drop dead without knowing who Christ is. Listen at me. You are charged as I am charged to preach this word. You're to tell people everywhere you go. You don't know who you're talking to. But I tell you, you know who you're talking for. Life is not promised to any of us. Can I get a witness? But what is promised is that we are to teach and to preach God's word to everyone throughout this world. And God will do the rest. Our job is to sow the seeds. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
I need some amens. Amen. This morning, lights.
Amen.
Amen.
We've got to preach the word in season and out of season. Simply put, we can't sugarcoat this. You got to preach things when it's not popular to preach it. And you got to speak things when it's not popular to speak it. I had the occasion the other day, and I'm telling this to encourage you. Test every holiday in this country against God's word. Amen, lights. I don't care how nice it is. Go find it in God's word. The other day, it was coming up, and I didn't even notice the Valentine's Day. And my spirit told me to go find out who Valentine is. What's this Valentine's Day? I walked at the mall and went in the mall. Everything in the mall was red.
Amen.
Yeah, see, when I started seeing everything on a setup, I started searching. It's called discerning. I said, why is the whole world upside down with all this, everywhere you go in the mall? And this ain't no little mall. It's Virginia Center Commons, and they got everything was Valentine's. I mean, it was Valentine's from Wendy's to Chick-fil-A to the Big Lady Shop. I mean, they had Valentine's everything. Everybody walking around in their hat on red. I got a little nervous. What I did not see in there was Jesus. You see, some preachers, I did a lot of research on that church, and a lot of preachers who feed itching ears said, well, it's Valentine's Day. It's love, and love is Christ. Do you know how many people were saddened on Valentine's Day? When I worked at Bank of America, it was one of the worst days up there. It was Valentine's Day. When all those young ladies, which was mostly all women, very few of them got any roses or deliveries at the bank. And the ones that got them just ran around like they were tiptoeing through the tulips. Oh, look at my roses. And the rest of them around there said, she come by here one more time. I got some for her. You see, I have problems with that. I have problems when something don't make everybody feel good. Come on, somebody. And as I walked through the mall, here's what I saw. A lot of young fellas with their pants hanging almost to their knees. And they going in these shops, God bless them. They ain't got no money. They obviously ain't working. How you going to be at the mall at 10 o'clock in the morning, the mall full of brothers walking around, every one of them do-rags, pants hanging down, trying to find something cheap to take back home to the lady when she get off of work? Give me a break. If y'all need to delete this off the tape, go right ahead. I'm calling like I see them. And my heart went out for them, too, because they're going from store to store. What's on sale? What's on sale is J-O-B. Go get a job. She'd rather have that than this little chump change candy. I started to tell them, look, all y'all gather around. Pretend tomorrow is Valentine's Day and go to any of these stores and everything's 50% off.
75.
That's right. You go up there to Wendy's, Kroger's, he gives it off. He drops it down to 75% off. You get all the Whitman's chocolate you want. But see, you got to have wisdom and knowledge to know that.
Amen.
You see, every day to me is a Valentine's Day. Amen. Every day I wake up, I tell my wife I love her. She walked in the other morning, I got tears in my eyes. Because I am thankful and grateful to God that he's allowed her to be by my side. I don't take that for granted. I told you this and I'll tell you again. She should have left my ties behind many years ago. But she stuck by me by the grace and the power of Almighty God and raised my children. And I will always be, she'll be my Valentine. I don't need no Valentine. She's my heart and my soul and my life, and I love her. Sometimes I don't treat her like I should because I'm crazy. But I love the ground she walks on. And all you men on this call, you should be able to say that about your wives. And if you don't, keep praying and ask God to give you that spirit. A wife is a gift that is from God.
Amen.
Amen. Believe me, it's a blessing. Behind every good man, there's a good wife.
Amen.
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 And move without this woman. She's been by my side all my life. I don't remember nothing but the little simple records that I liked from when I was a child. But I can tell you day in and day out, being with Connie, it ain't always been easy. In the old age, she's gotten to be where she's a good boxer. When she's young, she just listened at me and didn't talk back or nothing. other day I got upset. It only happens when she says something indirectly that makes me think she don't love me. And I'm coming in there and have my cane, had the nerve to raise it up. Kind of looked me dead in my eyes and said, what are you going to do with that? I happened to notice it was up. I said, well, I ain't Moses, so I sure ain't going to try to a snake. I walked on out the room because I don't know what that was. That was the devil. Because I know I ain't crazy enough to raise none up in Connie. Can I get a witness? So y'all listen at me closely. You and I must proclaim God's word. I don't care whose day it is.
Amen.
The Bible said it's the day that the Lord has made, and you must rejoice and be glad therein. Every day is a day of sunshine.
Yes.
And the Sabbath has no end.
Amen.
Can I get a witness?
Yes.
Listen at me closely, church. We cannot allow the devil to take us down. It's his goal to keep our children from the word and to keep us out of the presence of the Almighty God. Hallelujah. I strike the big, tall, handsome grandson just came in. God bless you. God bless you. Listen to me. I pray all the time for each one of us at this church. We can't let the devil take us down.
Amen.
God bless you. The whole Word of God church is present this morning in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So as I move along, I want you to understand that the force of preaching is not my force. It's the force of God at work in each of us. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
See, expository preaching allows the preacher to proclaim all the counsel of God. That's why I give you so many scriptures in my preachment. It is not me. It's the power of God's word that penetrates the hearts and souls of men, women, boys, and girls. Listen to me. Preach, you are charged, just like I am, that you tell the world about Jesus and the plan of salvation. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
God is what gives the power. God is what helps. In the case of this family that lost their son-in-law, the mother, who I know to be a staunch, strong Christian, listen to what she said. She said that God was in that room with him when he died. And God had it so that the door was shut. And when I opened it, it was all over. That's what happens when you trust the Lord. No matter what you come up against, God is in the mix.
Amen. Perfect will.
And he stands supreme. And all we have to do is trust him and lean and depend on him.
Amen.
All my life, I never understood certain things. And some degree now I don't, but I do. You see, all my life, I could not understand why a man who doesn't know another man would dislike him. I never could reason that in my mind until I got in God's word. And it tells us clear that when your heart's not set on heaven, it's set on hell. And hell has no respecter of love. Where Christ has no respecter of person, he treats us all the same.
Yeah.
To profess that you're a child of the King and hate your brother is not standing in the Christian walk. Preaching and teaching have to be God's word. You must stand on it. If you don't understand it, you still stand. Amen?
Amen.
We're required to preach it and be ready in season and out of season. 2 Timothy 4:2 says. You see, preaching reveals a degree of preparation. I want you to take a note on this. You see, you can't talk about Christ unless you're prepared. And I'm not talking about going to seminary. I've been to seminary. That's not the answer. What is the answer is that you keep your mind in your word and you pray and ask God for wisdom and knowledge that you understand what you're reading. You can read all the commentaries you want, church. It simply comes back to the word. Remember, and I've cautioned you and I'll caution you again this morning, Don't get caught up on commentaries to explain what the Holy Spirit only can explain to you.
Amen.
Now, come on, lights.
Amen.
Listen to me. There are many commentators who are moderates or liberal. They interpret God's word to fit itching ears of people who read the commentary. The first thing you read is the word. And the second thing you do is ask God to reveal what he wants you to see in the word. Don't get caught up on this game that I saw at the church I was licensed through, that there's a tit for tat. No, it is not about anything but you and I gaining knowledge that we can do God's will. Did you get that? It's not about intellect. It's not about being able to spew out words or scriptures. It's about gaining God's knowledge, wisdom, and power to do the will of the Father. That's an eternal, that's an inward thing. I hope y'all got that. And that's when we come together in Bible study, all of us have a intricate part of Bible study. It's not just a preacher or the teacher. We all have the power of the Holy Spirit at our disposal. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Remember, there is no question that is stupid in God's kingdom.
Amen.
I don't care how long we go through it or what it is, ask it in the name of Jesus. And let me assure you, if you ask it other in his name, he knows it and he will deal with it. I've been preaching for almost 20 years now, and I've never been afraid to get in front of God's people. Never afraid of a question. I talked to Wayne and Sister Corbin, which was a blessing the other night, called because I was real interested in what Wayne had brought to my attention. And I'll tell you, like I told Sister Corbin and Brother Wayne, I'm not an Old Testament scholar, but I think I'm a pretty good New Testament one. You thought asking me questions about the Old Testament, I got to go check it. Now, there are some people that love the Old Testament, and that's great. You see, right now, my mission is to make sure I teach you the New Testament. Can I get a witness? Because that's what's going to save your soul. You see, the Old Testament will help you. In fact, church, I should never preach the Old Testament without bridging it with the New Testament. Did y'all get that? If you read some in the Old Testament, you should be able to go find its meaning in the New Testament. You see, nowadays, preachers preach out of the Old Testament. You ever wonder why they stay over there? Because there's nothing you have to do. You're getting a story told to you. As soon as you step foot in that New Testament, you start having to do something.
Amen.
Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And watch that trick, because that's one of the tricks of the devil, is have you in the Old Testament. I listen to preachers after preacher, and they stay in the Old Testament. And where's Jesus' teachings at? They're in the New Testament. That's not to say you shouldn't be reading the Old Testament and not knowing, because if you read it right, you will automatically bridge it to the New Testament. One of the blessings I've got out of the Old Testament is that the preachers that preached back then were ignored, just like the ones are today who are truly preaching God's word. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Just like the prophets were old, were slain, The apostles were done the same too. And those who proclaim God's word today still suffer. Why? Our Lord said that would happen. Can I get a witness? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 says, let me back up. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13 says, until I come, devote yourselves to public reading of Scripture and to preaching and to teaching. Church, that's the mission. I must publicly read Scriptures and preach and teach. And I hope and pray that no one will ever say, well, Bishop Cuff didn't give us any Scriptures. Because I hope and pray you remember anything that he gave me Scripture after Scripture. I had to write good notes. And now you've got a blessed tool. You can go back to the church website and listen at a sermon, stop it when you want to, back up. And if that don't help you, the CDs will. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen.
1 Timothy 4:16. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Preserve them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Did you get that? Watch your life and the teachings. Preserve them. Keep them deep in your heart, church. Meditate on them both day and night, church. You cannot pick your Bible up on Sunday for worship and put it down Sunday afternoon and the rest of the week. I've given you clues to help you with this, and I'll give them to you again. What you focus your mind on is what you are. Can I get a witness? If you got your mind squared on this kingdom, that's who you are. If you got your mind on Jesus, you will make a pathway to him every opportunity you get. Bibles are very inexpensive. You can get them. You don't necessarily have to get those expensive ones. You can find a word. Just make it sure it's a sound word. You see, you pick up a Jehovah's Witness Bible, that is not the translation of the Bible or the Mormon Bible. Can I get a witness? If you get you a plain, simple Bible that speaks the word of God, you need to meditate on it both day and night, and then you'll be able to be like that tree that's planted by the rivers of water. It will come forth in season and out of season. And its leaves will not wither, and whatsoever it touches will grow in the name of Jesus. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
It's like Sister Coley down there that's ministering to her family. I know they're at peace in the midst of a storm. That's how God works. You see, we might have tears for a little while. We might be in the storm for the night, but oh, joy comes in the morning. And joy will override darkness any day, hour. Can I get a witness? There's some of us on this call who have been in those dark hours of our life. And I come by to tell you that God will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. And all we have to do is stand firm and hear the Lord speak to us, even in the midst of our loss and sorrow. Can I get a witness? Church, we must expose sin. Preachers don't preach about sin no more. When I was a child, that's all I heard when I went to church, was about sin. And they called it back then fire and brimstone. You know what, church? We need a little fire and brimstone. Because everything goes now. We got an excuse for everything that the Bible says is sin. We go dress it up. Oh, y'all might say amen. For our young women on this call, take heed. Sin is sin. You are obligated by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to be godly young women. And you know what I'm talking about. You cannot let a young man come up to you and talk all this, oh, baby, I love you. If they love you, they will treat you like a godly woman. Can I get a witness on this call?
Amen.
And for our young men, treat women like you would treat your mother. Your mother's no hoe and neither is no somebody's daughter.
Amen.
We should honor our women and respect them as we should honor and respect our mothers. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
God watches all of us. None of us get away with anything in this kingdom. Because God's got his eye on every one of us. You might have it in your mind, but he reads your mind, I tell you. So I'm called to rebuke and reprove you. You see, a preacher is not only to be ready to preach, but also to rebuke and reprove sin. As Timothy said in Timothy 3:16. All scriptures inspired by God and profitable for reproving and for correcting. You sit here to be corrected when you're outside of the will of God. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Preachers and churches now are afraid to say anything to the flock about sin because they're afraid they'll lose their money or their job. I am not afraid of either. I get no money, want no money, and this ain't no job. This is a life's calling on my life. I'll preach as if I have to stand on a street corner and talk to the squirrels running back and forth. God said his word will not go out and come back void. The rocks will cry out.
Amen.
So we must take correction. Our children have gotten to now, you can't correct your children because you'll go to jail. That's the devil's work. In my mother and father's house, you would get corrected and we would today consider that a felony charge. But what has happened is that it kept me out of jail, kept me out of trouble. The worst thing you can do is not rebuke and correct your children. And the worst thing I can do is let you slide and get away with things so I can have you get along with me. I'm not called to get along. I'm called to do what God commanded me to do. He said to preach the gospel in season and out of season. That simply means when you like it and when you don't like it. More Christians need to stand on God's word. We act like wimps. We're afraid to proclaim the truth. I don't care about what man thinks about me. I live for God, and for God I'll die. It's God I have to please.
Amen.
And it's God that you have to please.
Amen.
Sit around here trying to please mankind. Man can't be pleased.
Amen.
He's wishy-washy. The Bible tells us that. It says that we're like sheep, easily led astray. And I'm going to sit up and waste my time. I have a charge over my head, and I'm going to fulfill it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Listen to Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 9. And I apologize. Sometime I have to read quite a bit. This is one. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." And, you know, I have to stop there. The news says that the flu is running rampant in this country. And I believe part of it is because people ain't washing their hands. You go out to eat and don't see nobody going to the bathroom. They just plop down at the table and go up and pick up them ladles, sneezing and coughing and who knows what else that been on those hands. So when I read this, it brought it back to my memory. Said, why don't people wash their hands before they eat? And Jesus replied, "Why do you break the commands of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and your mother, and anyone who curses his father or his mother must be put to death. But you said that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God, he is not to honor his father with it. Thus you nullify the words of God for the sake of your tradition, you hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." Did you hear that, church? We're not to proclaim rules that are taught by man, but the rules that are laid out by an all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-wise God. Can I get a witness? So as we bring this to a close, there's certain things that you and I must do, church. One is that we must encourage right behavior. The text says that we must exalt. The Greek word translated exalts is parakleio, means to encourage and speak restoration. Did y'all hear that? We must speak restoration into people's souls.
Amen.
You see, the devil would have us not be restored, but continue to live in sin and fall into eternal damnation. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
This is what Paul did. We're to exalt and encourage and employing each one of us as a father would his own child, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of God who called you into his own kingdom and glory. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. And so, church, if you take a note, you must exalt. And when you do that, you must do it with patience.
Yeah.
In fact, with great patience. Paul said to reprove, rebuke, and exalt with great patience in 2 Timothy 4 and 2. Patience is used in connection with people, not circumstances. It's necessary to be patient with people because spiritual change usually takes place when you're patient with people. Amen?
Amen.
If the recovering process takes longer than we like, it's tempting to get hard on people and to give up on them. I heard a little bit of that this morning. You and I cannot give up on anybody who's not saved. Can I get a witness to it?
Amen.
I don't care if you told them today, tell them tomorrow. Do it with patience and love and care. Sooner or later, they're going to hear you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
But too quickly, we give up on people. We don't try. And in response, we give up. That's the problem in my business. You know, people start off in it, and next thing you know, they ain't making no money, so they quit. Quitters never win, and winners never quit. And when you serve the master, you never give up. I mentioned to you before this notion about preachers retiring so they can go to Florida and chill out. I will chill out when I get into glory.
Amen.
In the meantime, I got work to do. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
This ain't no vacation down here. I'm going through the shadow of death down here. And you are. You cannot walk through this light and not speak God's word to those who are lost, church.
Amen.
It goes on in our text to say, teach sound doctrine. You and I must always speak the word with great patience and good instruction. And that means that you must listen at me and you must test me like the Bereans do. Because the scripture says that some started off good and they get sidetracked. You know, that's so easy to do. Now look at Word of God Church. One minute we don't have no equipment, don't have nothing. Ain't got no money. And look what God's doing in this ministry. But you always got to keep your eye on the call.
Watch your coat.
You hear what I'm saying? You can't let nothing stop you from the mission that you're on. And your mission is to get into the kingdom and take everybody you have any sight of knowledge about along the journey. Amen? So our preaching has to be instructive, which means that you and I must stay in God's word. And so we bring this to a close. I want you to know that God is always with you. When you do the work of the ministry, you're not alone. You do it by the presence of the Holy Spirit. You have God always standing by. The doctrine is clear. It's in your Bible. All you have to do is read your Bible. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And then once you get this knowledge in your heart, then you must pass it on. Church is long-suffering. You can't just do this sometime or when you feel like it. Every opportunity you have, you must witness to people. I listen to Connie when she talks on the phone, and I tell her and myself, I don't have that many people I talk to. All people I talk to are business people. And listen when I talk to them. I've never sent an email out to my business partners that I don't have. God bless you on it. I'm not ashamed to identify. In fact, I don't even do business with people who are not godly Christians. Can I get a witness? If I don't hear God in that mix, I'll get out of it. So as I bring this to a close, I want to just continue to encourage you to do the things that you're doing that are pleasing in God's sight. Ezekiel 33 and 30 and 32, 33 says, "As for you, son of man, your countrymen are talking together about you by the walls and at the doors of their house, saying to each other, 'Come and hear the message that has come from the Lord.' My people come to you as they usually do and sit before you to listen to your words, but they do not put them into practice. With their mouth they express devotion, and their hearts are greedy for unjust gain. Indeed, to them you are nothing more than one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and plays an instrument well, for they hear your words, but they do not put them into practice. When all this comes true, and it surely will, they will know that the prophet had been among them." And so, church, you and I must not be concerned when you speak the word that people are thinking that you are making melody and singing nice hymns to them. For that's not your charge. Our charge is to speak it in season and out of season. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
No matter where you go, you take the name of Jesus with you.
Yes.
Listen to me. If more of us did that, we would not be sinning.
Amen.
You see, if Jesus is square on your heart, wherever you go, you don't be cussing people out. And you don't be making fun of people and sliding and slipping around corners. You know, one of the dumbest things that mankind does is think that they're getting away with sin. Because God watches every move you make. And then it ain't too hard for people down here to see what you're doing. You know, you stop and think about it. People think they slick. Go in a parking lot, park their car over there, and then get out of their car and go get in another car and drive off. And the TV monitor sitting up there taking the whole picture. Oh, y'all, come on with me now. I remember a movie where a cop was running around and not knowing that his wife was running around with the husband and the woman he was running around with. And somebody got killed in the neighborhood, and he had to go back and check all the stuff. And then he started realizing, wait a minute, that looks like my wife in that picture. You know, some people get caught when they do the dumbest things. You know, the dumbest thing to be is in sin. Sin is a terrible deceiver. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Sin will set you up, and then he laughs at you when you fall.
Amen.
You know, how many times has the men gone out here, especially when they get my age, they seem to get that Old Spice syndrome. They sit up there and open up their shirts and dye their eyelashes. Back in my day, they dyed it with black shoe polish. Now they got Grecian Formula 44. And I ride by the gym down there at Family Fitness Center, and here they come out there looking like Jack O'Lane. Over to VA hospital, and the poor ladies are working there can't get down the hallway between the Old Spice and them squirrels running up and down talking about, "Hey, girl." No, I don't mean no problem about Melvin's Old Spice. No, I forget. Forgive me, Lord. Well, old Musk, y'all know what I'm talking about. Listen at me closely. Do not let the devil deceive you. Y'all got the message?
Yes.
Keep the word in your heart. Listen at me. And then you will not sin against God. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Preach this word in season and out of season. As I bring this to a close. And all believers are called to preach vocationally. In fact, church, you know, I don't believe any of us are called to be vocational preachers. You know, that's one who preaches for money. You know, you send people go to school and they say, "I'm going to be a preacher." And they say, "Oh, you're going to make big money." I had a guy come around here to do some work one day, and he said, "You're a preacher. You got big money." And I said, "Well, you'll find out the little bit you get for doing this job, how much you want." See, that's a misnomer. That's because preachers have taken what is godly and made it manly. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
I was audited some maybe 15 years ago by a little feisty little lady from the Internal Revenue Service. And she came to the house, and I had to get my, I had a security alarm business, and I had to get all my books out, and she sat up there for what, a week almost. And I asked her, why are you coming after me? Go get these corporations. She said, the corporations said, well, I need to go after you. She said, where are your church papers? I said, here, what papers? Well, you get paid, don't you? I said, no, I don't. You don't get paid. You know that lady would not lighten up on me for 2.5 days? And let me tell you how God works. When she found out that I did not get paid, she did everything in her power to help me over the humps I had with those taxes. You remember that, dear? This lady, when she found out that I wasn't preaching for money, she couldn't believe it. And she cut me slack and covered things and helped me get things. That's how God works. You do what God wants you to do, he'll bless you. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And that's just what she did. That she made it her business the next 2 days to cover and come up legitimately with ways when she could have not even thought about them. That's how he works. You see, we must preach God's word and be in season and out of season. Remember the 28th chapter of Matthew's, verse 18 and 20, and I'm not going to read it to you. It's the Great Commission. That commission is on all of us.
Amen.
Don't let a day go by that you don't recognize God to somebody in your midst. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And I assure you in the name of Jesus, when you come in this house, if God gives me the strength to speak, I'm going to preach his gospel in season and out of season.
Amen.
Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Deacon Edison, lead us in prayer.
I would go ahead and give the closing prayer, but I ask that Deaconess Freeman, if she's still on, she closes.
Amen. Deaconess Freeman.
Yes.
Bible says always be ready to give an account. Step on it.
Okay, let's bow heads. I'm going to do my, I'm going to do the same prayer that we're supposed to do this morning.
Amen.
Okay. Let's bow heads again. I got
to
find my glasses.
Take your time, Sister Freeman.
Heavenly Father, thank you for another blessed sermon. Thank you for the message this morning, Father. And thank you for letting your Holy Spirit surround us as we came together to worship you. You said in your word that when two or more gathered in the midst that you are there.
Yes.
And we thank you for your presence this morning, Holy
thank
Father.
You. Thank
in Jesus' holy name.
Yeah.
Father, thank you for not deserting us in this wicked world and for loving us so much that you sent your son to be our light and our hope.
Yeah.
We know we are your children, Father, that this life is, that our lives is in your hand. Our lives are in your hand. And we know, Father, you will leave us to a fulfillment far greater than anything we could ever attain for ourselves.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Yeah.
The only thing we need to do, Father, is continue to trust you and follow your will. And continue to lead us by your light and toward the eternal life that you have prepared for us. Lord, thank you for the gift of Bishop Cuff and his message this morning. Thank you for him preparing your elected ones for works of service. Father, continue to bless him, keep him, and sustain him by your power according to your wisdom. Thank you, Holy Father, for the Word of God Church and the Julius C. Freeman Outreach Ministry.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Father, for granting each of us spiritual and physical healing.
Yes.
And thank you for letting your peace reside in each of us, Father. Thank you, Holy Father, for your grace and your mercy.
Yes.
Thank you for our church family. Thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for this community of faith, and that we continue to encourage each other and build each other up in righteousness.
Yes.
Lord, help us remember that as true believers, that we continue to share, and that we will share each other's suffering as well as each other's celebration.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for hearing the prayers and requests of your people this morning and your direction and guidance. We pray that we faithfully serve you, and that one day our voice too will join with the choirs of the angels in your heavenly kingdom.
Yes.
In the precious name of your Son, amen.
Amen. Let the church say amen.
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 Deacon Edison passes out the communion. You know, church, that's fellowship. That he relinquished that to Sister Freeman because he knows she was prepared and the devil did not get his due. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Devil. Amen.
So?
That's how God works. God is in charge.
All the time.
Yeah. My son in the ministry and my son-in-law apology. I thought Melvin stopped using Old Spice.
He used Old Spice?
I'm going to say he don't use Old Spice then. He uses the odor and God bless him. You know, I tell you how God works. He did. See what happens when you love one another? You know, some churches get all uptight about small things, but God is good, is he not?
Yes, he is.
He's powerful. He's all-knowing. And I'm very grateful and thankful to him today that the entire church is present. And I give him glory. My young grandsons, I know they have sports and they're traveling all over the country, but it's always good to have y'all present.
Amen.
Amen. With their handsome selves.
Amen.
I'm blessed. You know, I wake up every morning knowing who woke me up.
Yeah.
And to have this church, you see, I'm sometimes like y'all. I figure we'll just be us, but it's not so. We've got to branch out. Amen. We've got to tell the entire world. Yeah, that's right, little Joseph. We got to tell the world. Melanie, where are you at now, dear?
I'm home.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Oh,
you
praise
need
to God.
Did you hear that, Melanie?
I'm sorry?
I said you need to slow down.
I was going to speed limit.
That ain't no chariot you driving. Well, praise God. Can the church say amen?
Amen?
God has answered our prayers. She's home with her family. God is good, I tell you.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is. Thank you, Lord. If you turn to in your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This time I'll read from verse 17, dealing with the conduct of the Lord's Supper. Once you found it, say amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17, beyond reads, "And now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you came together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you came together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part, I believe you, for there must also be frictions among you that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of the other. And one is hungry and another is drunk. What, do you not have houses to eat in and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? I do not praise you." And so as you read on, church, that you continue to understand what the Lord's Supper is. Lord, I ask now that you bless this bread and this wine, that you sanctify it, that you use it for the purpose you have so designated to us, that as often as we eat and we drink in the remembrance of our Lord and Savior until he comes back to claim his church. Let us now commune together on the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, who died on Calvary's cross for our sins and the sins of the world. Father, I ask for your mercy and for your grace upon this flock, that you guide us, Lord God, that you give us the power that we may witness to the lost in these last and evil days. I pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And after the supper, our Lord took this cup, which symbolized his blood. Now, as we commune together on the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, who shed his blood on Calvary's cross for our sins, let us commune together. O Holy Father, we thank you, we praise you this day. We give you all honor above all things. We ask that you continue to lift us up where we're falling short. Guide us, Lord God, where we need your knowledge and your wisdom. Help us, Lord God, that we may be a shining light in an otherwise darkened world. I pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, that all who hear God say amen.
Amen.
I have the offertory report by Trustee Reeves.
Oh!
Last Sunday, we collected $15.
And do you mind just seeing how much we collected this Sunday? I asked the church while Deaconess Trustee Reeves does that. This is what happens when you start using all these fancy words. I ask that you be in prayer for Sister Corbin's recovery. Be in prayer for the families that have lost loved ones, the Coley family, which is down in Louisiana, Lake Charles, Louisiana. That you bless the wife that has now lost her husband, and all the other families in this nation who have lost loved ones. Amen.
Amen, Father. Amen.
Our children, our young people, as they go through these challenges of life, give them the power. And you and I must pray. The Bible says the prayers of the righteous prevail of much. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
It's our prayers that are carried up. It's our prayers that sustain us.
We collected $522 this Sunday.
Did y'all hear that?
$522
Sunday.
Amen.
All those who gave the 15 last week and those who gave the 520 this week.
Amen.
Let us pray over the offering. Father God, we thank you for this offering that you've allowed people to give from their hearts out of humble submission to you. For all that we have belongs to you. And this is but a portion that we return. We ask, Lord God, to be used for the uplifting of your kingdom, that you guard over it, Lord God, and that it be not wasteful in any way, but used to bring souls into the kingdom and comfort the lost, give sight to the blind. I pray these and all other blessings. And, Lord God, bless each one who's given each and every time, Lord God, be it small or large. We pray these blessings in Jesus' name. Let the church say in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All minds clear?
Yes.
Okay. All right. You sure can. All right. All minds clear?
Yes.
Amen. Well, God walk with you. Go in peace this day. You are dismissed. God bless you all.
Thank
Sister
you.
Corbin, get well.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Bye-bye.